Welcome to What's Ailing America with your host, Dr. Rebecca Carlin, the world's only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases. Dr. Rebecca Carlin.
Namaste, and welcome back to another edition of What's Ailing America. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by BBS Radio, its staff, or management, but represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, please go to the www.drcarly.com and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I went from being a surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune diseases and cancer to teach people how to reverse these problems with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and do everything based on history alone. In other words, you do not have to come to North Carolina to see me in person. Please call me at the number on my website if you would like to learn how I do consults. I ask you to consider the information I give using your own God-given common sense. I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in toll-free at 877-270-8714. In Canada, the number is 888-228-4494. It is fine if you use only your first name, and all shows are archived. Every week, I will answer the question, "What is ailing America?" with a different response, as well as share the good news of what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that inoculations are the true weapons of mass destruction, together we will be able to stop the Holocaust on the health of people and pets. And remember, if you don't stand up for the truth, you will fall for any lies. But be uplifted, as the weak-willed puppets of darkness are being made visible to the public eye, through shows such as this, and the once feeble calls for cease and desist are now a roaring outcry. On tonight's show, What's Ailing America, the answer is going to be vaccination, social violence, and criminality. And I'm very disappointed to let all of you know I sent out a blast to thousands of people that Dr. Harris Coulter, the author of the book by that name, was supposed to be a guest on the show tonight. The station is going to try to keep calling him. Unfortunately, Dr. Coulter had a stroke, and he's in a nursing home. We've been talking about this interview for weeks, but I'm afraid maybe he's not doing too well. I haven't been able to reach him all day. So let's all send out prayers for Dr. Coulter that Seth will be able to get through to him, and at least he can come on for a little while. If worse comes to worse, what I might have to do is call him and tape a show. I had wanted to have him on live because I know a lot of people wanted to talk to him and thank him for his wonderful work and ask him questions, but maybe we'll have to tape a show and play it sometime down the line. He could call me whenever he's feeling up to it. But before I get into his very important work, probably the most important work that I've ever read that helped me realize what's going on, I want to encourage all of you to go out and buy a brand new book on the shelf. Of course, you can get this in Barnes & Noble because it's high-level vaccine propaganda, so they don't, they'll sell it to you anywhere. The title of the book is Vaccinated, A One Man's Quest to Defeat the World's Deadliest Diseases. The author is Paul Offit, M.D. Now, of course, Paul Offit, M.D. has quite a large conflict in writing a book pro-vaccination. He's actually the developer of one of the rotavirus vaccinations. But the purpose of him writing this book, of course, was to tell the people about this wonderful man, Maurice Hilleman, who worked for the Merck Sharp and Dohme Company. He was their vaccinologist, a man so evil that he actually experimented on his own children with the vaccinations that he was created. And it even mentions that in this book. But one of the things I was really amazed to see is that Dr. Offit does describe some of the other people who are anti-vaccine and mention some of the things that they've said. Of course, you know, the mercury issue is a big scam, and that's why they're letting it out there now, so that everybody will believe that mercury causes autism, so that you'll then believe that if they take the mercury out, vaccines will be safe. Of course, a bigger lie has never been told. And he also talks about Dr. Andrew Wakefield in this book. Dr. Andrew Wakefield is the gastroenterologist from England who found from scoping children with autism that indeed they had a large amount of measles virus in the lymphoid tissue in their gut. Now, unfortunately, Dr. Wakefield doesn't see the forest for the trees, because if he did brain biopsies on them, he would find large amounts of measles virus in their brains as well. If he did spinal taps, he would find large amounts of anti-measles antibody in their spinal cords and also in their blood. But, of course, that's all he does is scope the gut, so that's what he found. So, you know, conclusions like what Dr. Wakefield came up with, such as that, you know, the gut is where it's all happening, that, you know, these problems in the gut are causing different kinds of absorption problems and food allergies to wheat and milk, and this is forming opioid compounds that are then giving the children these strange characteristics that they have neurologically, is, of course, totally down the wrong path. But Dr. Offit does, you know, point that out in his book, and I agree with Dr. Offit on Dr. Wakefield's conclusions. But one person he doesn't mention is Dr. Carley. And, of course, I have invited Dr. Offit on my show. As a matter of fact, this book is brand new, hot off the presses. It just came out in 2007. And he has gotten copies of my documents, and he has, of course, never responded to me. But one of the interesting things that he does mention in this book is, and I quote, "Measles virus causes one of the most insidious, unrelenting diseases of childhood, subacute sclerosing pain encephalitis." And, of course, that is autism. But the way Dr. Offit gets around this whole situation is by the fact of saying that it's uniformly fatal. No child has ever survived this condition. Of course, he doesn't mention that it's a demyelination condition, as is talked about in my medical books, and I'm going to get into that in a little while. But you see, this is the only way that Dr. Offit can try to discredit what I have said about autism being this condition, is that it's always fatal. Now, common sense tells you that, of course, everybody has a different susceptibility to problems, and the way that they've twisted and spun this situation now is that it's not subacute sclerosing pain encephalitis unless you're dead. Because, of course, if you're dead, then they can cut open your brain and look inside of it and find the measles virus within the brain cells. So I just had to laugh. I thought that was pretty funny. And one of the other things that Dr. Offit has stated, I haven't found it in this book, but I've heard him say it on in interviews before, is that children should be able to handle up to 10,000 vaccines at one time. So here we have one vaccine minion, you know, worshiping another vaccine minion and selling books, and I saw him interviewed on C-SPAN. Oh, I wish I could have been in the audience. But, of course, you know, you never find out that these things are happening until after the fact when they're put on someplace such as C-SPAN. I would love to have asked him some hard questions. But anyways, that's a very important book that you might want to check out and see what's going on. Now, another very disappointing situation that came up over the last couple of weeks is articles in the Townsend Letter. Townsend Letter for Doctors and Patients. Now, the Townsend Letter used to have some really cutting-edge stuff. But as always seems to happen, when any of these different publications that have the truth in them start to come out, things start to get watered down. Certain minions are sent in to maybe not allow some things to be published. Of course, they won't publish any of my work in here. And allow other things to be put out. And just to give you an idea how much the Townsend Letter has changed over the years, one of the most important articles I ever read that got me to realize that vaccines cause all autoimmune diseases and cancer was a very important letter or article published in the Townsend Letter in December 1977, 10 years ago, by Dr. Harold Buttram, MD, who is one of my heroes, who actually wrote an article talking about measles, mumps, rubella vaccine as a potential cause of encephalitis, brain inflammation in children. And he talks about the increasing evidence that this is, in fact, an autoimmune situation. And by reading this article, as well as Dr. Coulter's book, that is what helped me realize that it's not just the encephalitis, of course. It's all autoimmune diseases and cancer that are caused by vaccines. And those are the things that I put into my brain that allowed my brain to expand things and come up with an even bigger vision of what's really going on. They also had an article in this journal some time ago. I don't have it in front of me, but I send these articles out to all my clients, written by some parents who had a two-year-old die of brain cancer. And when they did their due diligence and checked out inoculations after that happened, they found out that, in fact, not a single vaccine had ever been tested to see if it causes cancer. Now, of course, the reason is because they know that the vaccines cause cancer, but they have an amazing chart in that book that lists all the vaccines and gives comments what it says in terms of carcinogenesis, which is its cancer-causing ability. And, of course, it always says for every vaccine, has not been tested, no studies done, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the kind of stuff that the Townsend Letter used to publish. Well, in the October 2000 issue, they had part one of an article on vaccinations entitled Vaccination and Updated Analysis of the Health Risk, Part 1, by Gary Null, Ph.D., and Martin Feldman. This is one of the most worthless articles I've ever seen. There's no new information in here. As a matter of fact, I was horrified to read where Dr. Null actually states, and I quote, "In the future, we hope to have DNA vaccines that are free of impurities. With these purified vaccines, genetic material from a microbe will be inserted directly into a person's cells, prompting them to produce the vaccine and mobilizing a long-lasting immune response." So here he's actually promoting DNA vaccines. He then says, theoretically, there is a downside if the vaccine DNA is integrated into the person's genetic makeup. The adverse effects could include autoimmune disease and cancer. Yes, Dr. No, I would say that that's quite a downside. And it's really quite amazing that you would not, you know, highlight it and put it in bold font that, of course, that's what's going to happen. The idea that they're still promoting better vaccines in such a journal as the Townsend Letter, I'm just totally disgusted. And then, of course, Mr. Null goes on to talk about mercury exposure being associated with nerve cell degeneration, adverse behavioral effects, and impaired brain development. And, of course, mercury is bad, and I'm sure that the damage done to the nervous tissue by the autoimmune attacks and the direct infiltration of measles virus is made much worse in a brain that's got mercury in there. But it was actually very interesting. One of my favorite people to banter with, a client that I've been dealing with for many years, who is hooked up with all these different autism groups, and she always plays the devil advocate with me. And she had sent me an email recently letting me know that one of the favorite things that's out there now, because, of course, the word of my work is getting out there, so they have to start going to a plan B, and what they're doing now is they're actually stating that mercury loads the gun and the virus shoots the gun. Now, of course, the take-home message for that if there's no mercury in the vaccines to load the gun, then the gun won't shoot. So it's really quite amazing how they're trying to, you know, change things just a little bit. And they're trying to let in some of the information about the viruses doing bad things, because it's getting a little obvious, folks. As you know, I've had an offer on my website for over a year for any vaccine promoter to come on my show and prove my documents wrong. I've now upgraded that to any mercury causes autism disinformer, and I've personally corresponded with many of these individuals. When I write my book, I will include some of their replies. It's actually quite funny. A number of them who actually promote mercury only as the cause of autism, as we banter back and forth, they end up saying, well, yeah, you know, the viruses do cause the encephalitis, but the mercury is bad, which is basically the same thing I say. But yet when they write their articles, they're not telling people about the viral part of it, because you see, then when you realize that injecting viruses into you is bad, you'll say, I don't care if it's got mercury in it or not. I don't want your witches through. Okay. In the November edition of Townsend Letter, as if we had to waste more pages on Mr. Null's vaccination and an updated analysis of the health risk part two, he goes on to basically give no new information whatsoever, but very interestingly, he actually wrote in here about that some author by the name of Jamie Murphy, author of What Every Parent Should Know About Childhood Immunization, argues that the vaccine may be associated with quite a few diseases, such as encephalopathies, which is brain damage, aseptic meningitis, cranial nerve palsies, learning disabilities, hyperkinesis, and severe mental retardation. That's the only thing he says in here, you know, basically about the truth, and talks about vaccine testing problems as if we didn't know that there was conflicts of interest up the wazoo. So I'm totally disgusted with Gary Null. In 2000, I was on Gary Null's show three times. That was back in the days when they had just started to persecute me for my medical license situation. They had, you know, sent me their documents that they're starting an investigation into my delusion of conspiracy. And Gary Null had me on his show, and of course, if he had really made an effort, he could have mounted an army who would have, you know, stopped this from happening. But what he was really doing was trying to find out what my protocol was. And he actually had individuals contact me and speak to me for hours. He was going to do a documentary of my work because he had investigated and found out how many people, especially with autism, were getting better from my protocol. But what Gary Null actually did was then start doing part of my protocol, claiming it was his, and not even mentioning my name. And when the whole thing came up as to what was going on with my son and how they had taken my son away from me and the corruption involved in that case, he had a whole show on with me talking about that, pretending he was outraged. But then when push came to shove, after he got his information from me that he wanted, he ended up just recommending me to get an attorney. So I'm just making you aware of the minions that are out there. As I said, Gary Null's known about my work for 7 years, makes no mention of it in his article, and basically now is toning things down and recommending that they do further research on DNA vaccines. It's very sad, folks, and I'm not saying that it's not hard to keep on standing up for the truth. After a few, you know, attempts on your life and different things that happen to you, financial devastation and all kinds of things, it is hard to keep on going. But to my mind, it's just pure evil to sell out. If you're going to sell out, then just keep your mouth shut. Don't sell out and then keep putting out information like this, which is basically going to just lead people down the wrong path, because you've already got a history of talking about vaccines, such as in the case of Gary Null, and now you're going to just go backwards in history and make them sound really not so bad. Yes, we should have our choices and we shouldn't be forced, but what we really need is more research. We don't need more research, folks. We've got research up the wazoo, and that is one of the wonderful things about Dr. Coulter's book. Now, Dr. Coulter's book was written in 1990. So I'm so amazed, and I'm not going to be able to go into, obviously, the whole thing. There's so much information in here. And I might integrate the second diagram on my website. If you recall, last week I did a special two-hour show which only covered the first diagram on my website, the big picture, which is basically how a variety of assaults on our immune systems and our body, you know, eventually leads us to reach critical mass, which causes our bodies to start breaking down, developing symptoms, telling us to wake up, you've got a problem. But unfortunately, what we've been brainwashed into doing is going to the white coats and get a drug. And actually, I think I'll just do a little preliminary on this diagram now, and then I'll bring Dr. Coulter's work into it, because Dr. Coulter backs up everything I say. And as a matter of fact, I had never fully even read his book until just a couple of weeks ago. I had looked at parts of it. I was especially interested in the criminality aspect of what he says in the book, because that was new information to me. I did not even realize how much information he's got in there about autism as well. And all the research that's been done over all these years, he's got so many references in here, folks. So I cannot more highly recommend to you to get a book, if you want to get a book that's going to explain everything to you neurologically that's going on with vaccines, until my book comes out, because I've realized a couple of additional things. You need to go to thinktwice.com. That's the triple W's, thinktwice.com, think twice is one word, and order Dr. Coulter's book. It is one of the most important books you will ever read. But let me just get to the second diagram. Actually, it's the third diagram on my website. If you go to drcarley.com and click on the third diagram, I just want to go into this a little bit as a introduction, because the whole left-hand side of the diagram is dealing with neurological issues, and that's what we're going to talk about. So basically, you go, you have the vaccinations substances listed there on the top, and of course, we've got foreign DNA. The foreign DNA is composed of organisms, be they live or dead. If the organisms are live, they're giving you the disease. Hello, they're injecting it into you. And, actually, along those lines, let me just read you something, because it's very funny. I like to always ask people to ask their white coats the question that if it's bad to have a mosquito sting you and you should get rid of all your standing water because of the mosquito problem, then why is it okay for them to take those viruses, stick them in a bottle, and call them vaccines and make that a good thing? You know, where is the magic happening? Well, on October 15th of 2007, right here in North Carolina in the Charlotte Observer, we have an article entitled Rare Disease Crops Up in North Carolina. Illness transmitted by mosquitoes is sometimes mistaken for a cold. Now, this is a new one. I hadn't heard of this. Who knows what biowarfare lab this was invented in, because it's just cropping up in North Carolina, folks. You know, it's funny how these emerging viruses are just cropping up. But this one's called lacrosse encephalitis, you know, like lacrosse, the sport. And they say that lacrosse encephalitis is spread by the eastern treehole mosquito, which generally makes its home in holes in hardwood trees. So I guess getting rid of the standing water is not even going to help you with this. Now, what's interesting is they talk about, although this has a low fatality rate, it disguises itself as other serious long-term problems. And some guy by the name of Jim McJunkin, a pediatrics professor at West Virginia's University's Charleston Division, conducted a study that found high rates of behavioral problems in children who contracted the disease. I wonder if they're doing any kind of biological warfare testing on this, you know, lacrosse encephalitis, eastern treehole mosquito situation. You know, that'd be kind of a coincidence if they were doing that kind of research at West Virginia's University's Charleston Division. It's not so far from North Carolina, but I just wanted to point out that, you know, they're finding that this encephalitis is causing behavioral problems, and that's the whole point of Dr. Coulter's excellent book. Okay. So as I said, if the organisms are alive, they're giving the disease just like the mosquito does. If the organisms are dead, now, of course, that's up to them to prove they're dead. Of course, they're not testing every drop of the vaccine to make sure that there's no live viruses in there. But if they are dead, then they're actually having to put formaldehyde in there to pickle the dead viruses. And, of course, formaldehyde is a toxic poison, a carcinogen. And you also have to consider all of the different embryo tissue that's in the vaccinations, because they're using animals and dead babies to culture the viruses on. There is no way for them to separate the viruses from the culture tissue, so when you get your vaccine, you're getting injected with dead babies, animal kidneys, God only knows what else. And that's going to be important when I talk about the mechanism by which these diseases are caused. We also have aluminum in vaccines as a adjuvant. An adjuvant is something that they put in to make the B cells, which make antibodies, go into hyperdrive, because their idea of immunity is a strong antibody response. And as you're going to learn, that is a fraud in itself, because the antibody cells cannot work in high gear and have the T cells work in high gear as well, the little Pac-Man cells that are supposed to gobble up the viruses and cancer cells and other things that have been coated with antibody, you see? And if the T cells aren't working to gobble up those cells, then all you're left with is a bunch of antibody that's going to places it shouldn't go. And that's causing all autoimmune disease. And let me also mention that I have a study from Scandinavian country, which I will include in my book. It's funny how they are doing some important vaccine research in other places, none in the U.S. except for disinformation. But they did a study injecting only the adjuvant into animals and found that that alone was enough to develop B-cell tumors in the animals, not to mention the fact that Alzheimer's disease is associated with aluminum, as I discussed on last week's show. When you cut open the brain of a patient with Alzheimer's, the neurofibrillary tangles that are characteristic of Alzheimer's disease are found amongst the aluminum. So for all these reasons, aluminum is bad. You also have mercury, thimerosal, which is put in there as a preservative. Now, of course, all they would have to do in order to not need preservative is put the vaccines in single-dose vials. So why do they need to put 10, 15 doses in a vial so that the pediatrician can just wipe off the stopper with an alcohol swab and then just stick another needle in there again and get out another dose? To save money? You know, these vaccine manufacturers, why wouldn't they want to have single-dose vials? Why wouldn't that be better for them? They could charge a little bit more. I do suspect a conspiracy here, folks. I think, as a matter of fact, intuitively I know that they realize that the incidence of post-encephalitic syndrome, which is what Dr. Coulter discusses in his book, was going to so massively go up with this vaccine protocol and schedule that they're continuing to make more and more severe, that they needed an out. And their out is the mercury, because now they can have all of these different autism groups get distracted, become infiltrated with provocateurs and disinformers, and lead people down the garden path to believe that the mercury is the only problem. Because once you believe that, then you'll believe that if they take the mercury out, the vaccines will be safe. And they were very smart as they did this because, of course, as I said, mercury is a toxic poison. If you take mercury and stick it into a culture media full of neurons, you will see the neurons shrivel up and die. Now, of course, that kind of test is very misleading because in the body, you're not taking the mercury and sticking it directly on the neuron with a pipette. You're just infusing it into the nervous tissue through the bloodstream with all the other poisons that's in the body, including all the stuff in vaccines. But this is how they fooled the public, and they even showed some of these clips on C-SPAN when they had all those autism hearings. And, of course, still, there's still mercury in vaccines, especially with the flu shot. But they are trying to put out propaganda now that having decreased mercury in the vaccines is leading to less autism. As a matter of fact, that's some of the disinformation that Gary Null is putting out in this Townsend letter. Let's see, this is in the October issue. And this is what he says. A study published in 2006 provides the first epidemiological evidence that the number of neurodevelopmental disorders has decreased in the U.S. as thimerosal was removed from vaccines. I told you that's what they were going to do, folks, and here it is. Gary Null is giving us that disinformation. It's a total lie, and as I said, the incidence of post-encephalitic syndrome is going to continue to increase, especially when you realize what it is and how many diseases are actually caused by this problem. Okay, we also have lipids put in vaccines. I was just browsing through my medical dictionary one day, and I found this term lipovaccines, and I said, self, what is that? Because I didn't learn about that in medical school, and sure enough, they described it, that they're now able to put lipids into vaccines, which delay introduction of the antigenic substance. Now, if you're going to give somebody a vaccine, why would you want to delay the introduction of the antigen? In other words, the germ or whatever they're giving you the vaccine against, it's got to fight its way out of this lipid shell in order to be exposed to the immune system so that you can develop an antibody to it. There's only one reason that they would do that, and that is if they didn't want you to know that whatever happened when that thing broke out of the lipid shell was caused by the vaccine. Because you can be sure, just like they're not telling you the ingredients of vaccines in general, they're not telling you that you've got a little lipo shell in your vaccine either. So that was quite a moment when I realized that. And, of course, we've got all kinds of other contaminants, the cancer-causing monkey viruses like SV40 that Paul Offit even, you know, admits in his book Vaccinated was present in the polio vaccine. And, of course, they knew about it for many, many years, and they just kept giving it out anyways. And this is now being associated with all kinds of lymphomas and lung cancers and other things such as that. We've got Mycoplasma incognitus, which is a biological warfare agent that apparently Dr. Garth Nicholson had a lot to do with developing, just like Dr. Robert Gallo developed the AIDS virus, and then he was given credit as the discoverer. It's the same situation with Garth Nicholson. And that is one of the patented microorganisms that's been put into the soldiers' vaccines in the Gulf War. And that is one of the reasons that they are so sick. Gulf War syndrome has other aspects to it as well. The depleted uranium, the aspartame they're feeding them, pyridostigmine pills, all kinds of other toxins they're exposing them to, oil fires, etc. But it's the plague, the mycoplasma that's actually causing the breakdown of their immune system as it's injected into them. So those are some of the things in vaccines, folks. Now, if you look on the left side of the diagram, you'll see I have two definitions there. Vaccination is introducing an agent for the purpose of producing immunity. And then we have the word inoculation, whose definition is introducing an agent for the purpose of causing disease. Are they producing immunity or are they causing disease? Well, that's where you unfortunately have to do a little research, and I send copies of this to all my clients as well, and get a copy of U.S. Code, Title 50, Chapter 32, Section 1520 and 1524, which says that the Department of Defense can use any human subject for testing of chemical or biological agents as long as the local civilian officials are given 30 days' notice. So if you see your mayor or your governor or, you know, any of those government minions go running out of town and they seem to all be going on vacation at the same time, that's when you better start getting nervous because that's when they're going to be doing their testing of chemical or biological agents. Now, that's Section 1520. Section 1524 talks about how these the Secretary of Defense can enter into agreements with the Secretary of Health and Human Services through use of the excess peacetime biological weapons to provide support for vaccination programs. I mean, it's right there, folks. They're admitting that they're experimenting on us to cause disease. It's admitted right in this document. And I've been handing this out to people for years. As a matter of fact, when I lived in Long Island, I brought it to the Nassau County Clerk's Office and had them stamp it to basically prove that they were in possession of this document, that they knew that this was going on. Because when I was living there, and let's see, when is this stamped? This was in 2001, August of 2001. It was right at a time where we were having hearings over the pesticide spraying for the West Nile virus. And, of course, when I went to these hearings, my hard question, and I actually have this on tape, I showed this on my public access TV show. See, I used to do things like this all the time, and I'm sure that had nothing to do with why they said I have a delusion of conspiracy. Because even when you document it and you videotape these people at hearings and you ask them the hard questions and they can't answer you or they tell you to leave, you know, basically you're the one that has the conspiracy. You know, the fact that they couldn't answer the question has nothing to do with it. But anyways, I did file this with the Nassau County Clerk's Office, and I'm sure they promptly put it into the circular file because, you see, the minions who work at these places, as long as they're getting a paycheck, they could care less about anything that's going on. And it's really very sad. I'm sure they're putting lots of fluoride in the water and things like that so that people can't even think, because if they actually realized that this was affecting them as well, then maybe they would care and maybe they would do something. But unfortunately, we're dealing with a lot of Walking Dead zombies, and that's pretty much the situation that we have. So getting back to the diagram, now that you realize that they're not vaccinating you, they're inoculating you with disease, and so, of course, this brings it up to the conspiracy reality level. If you go down to the, let's see, the right side of the diagram, because basically you'll see where it divides off there. We have it going to the left where the immune system is breaking down, and that's where I'm talking about the T-cell system, the little Pac-Man cells that are supposed to work with the antibody. You see, the way it's supposed to work is that the way the T-cell is supposed to recognize something is foreign is it's supposed to see a cell, be it, a bacteria, a virus, a fungus, a cancer cell, any of the bad guys. It's supposed to be coated with antibody. That's what tells the T-cell to go get that bad guy, okay? As I explained to you, especially with the adjuvants put into the vaccines, the B cells go into hyperdrive. They're making so much antibody that the T cell doesn't work as well as it should. It still does do some things, and it still does some very bad things. And I'm going to get into that because that's also involved with autism.
Dr. Jordan, the T cells can actually do bad things.
But it's mostly the antibodies involved. Do we have a call?
Okay. Yes, I'm here, Dr. Carly.
Who's this?
This is Dr. Jordan.
Oh, I'm so glad you called in. Yes, as I'm sure you heard, I'm very disappointed I wasn't able to get a hold of Dr. Coulter. For all your listeners, Dr. Coulter is a vet, is to the pets what I am to the people, my favorite veterinarian in the whole world. And if you go into the archives on BBS Radio, we've done 3 interviews already in the past. But actually, I'm so glad you called in because I'm going to get into this violence aspect, but if you could just share again with the listeners, Dr. Jordan, one of the most amazing things that you taught me about what's going on with the rabies vaccine, and especially in relation to the dogs getting violent and biting people.
Yes, that's what I've taken some notes.
Thank you.
Dr. Pitcairn, who taught us the professional homeopathy course, is a personal friend of Dr. Coulter's, and Dr. Pitcairn had recommended that we read Dr. Coulter's books because he saw the association of the rabies miasm from vaccinations in dogs causing a couple different things. In the mildest form with the puppies, they were actually having training problems. They would start to develop fear of strangers. Also, they would be more aggressive, and the other dogs would actually get a type of thunderstorm fear that would get the phobias would increase.
Wow.
And the way it was explained to us was that a vaccine doesn't protect you against rabies. It just gives you a chronic form of it.
Amen.
And the form of the phobia with rabies that's attached to aggression can cause the seizures and aggressiveness and fear of strangers and thunderstorm phobias and all that. So actually, when we have to vaccinate the dogs for rabies, which we know now is being done way too often anyway, I just returned from the HVMA conference, and Dr. Jean Dodd is even advocating that whenever they get vaccinated against rabies, that they should receive Listen, which is the nosode for the rabies, which is treatment that is provided by a homeopath, and to try to offset this rabies miasm that will occur. And one of the things that I got from Dr. Coulter's book was that everybody who receives a vaccine in some way, shape, or form has a post-vaccinal encephalitis that occurs.
Yes.
Now, how it's expressed, depending on which one of the cranial nerves gets affected,
yes,
could be anything from anorexia to, you know, autism.
Exactly.
And that there's a lot of learning disabilities that are associated as a result of this vaccine, the virus, in combination with the neurotoxins accessing the nerves, sheath right back to the brain.
Exactly.
And I was very, very understanding after I read Dr. Coulter's book, his last chapter in the Assault on the American Brain, the criminality and social violence that's raising as a result of the intensive vaccination programs that are going on. And it just seems very clear. Even in Dr. Schultz, when I was available at his workshop in Connecticut a few months ago, he said he used to look towards the MD, the pediatricians, for their vaccine protocols. And he said now, he said, things are so ridiculous. Now, this is one of our leading vaccine researchers, and I have him on tape saying this, that he goes, if the children are able to even survive this vaccination protocol, that they're going to be idiots of some level or another, referring to the learning disabilities.
Yes.
And this is also brought out in a recent, I sent you a copy of it, the study that was done in the California and Oregon children, vaccinated and non-vaccinated. The vaccinated children had 155% more learning disabled issues than the non-vaccinated. You know? And so anyway, it just seems like it's all given very good credence to, I think, Dr. Coulter is more of a seer ahead of his time.
Definitely.
But that the quote that he has in the medical hubris and its consequences is what this is all about. And that we are going to pay a very severe price for having this, I don't even know what to call it. It is a conspiracy. I don't know if you heard, I sent the copy of the AMA murder by injection video that's on the Dr. Merkel's site that says that all of this medical mafia is tied into the Rockefellers, and, you know, that there was a plan to try to become a handle on the entire medical system.
Yeah.
And it's obviously spread over into the veterinarians as well, because they have no clue what they're doing when they're injecting these things.
Right. Well, first of all, let me just say the Rockefellers are highly involved with the eugenics program, and there's actually a book by that name called Murder by Injection by Eustace Mullins, M-U-L-L-I-N-S.
Right. Yes. Right. He has the video about his book. Right.
Well, I haven't had a chance. You send me so much wonderful stuff. I haven't had a chance to look at that one. I think I just got that today. But I want to just read one of my favorite quotes in Dr. Coulter's excellent book. On page 160, he says, "Thus, the medical profession is in the curious position of urging vigorous measures against a health threat created largely by itself."
Yes.
And if that doesn't say it all, I don't know what is. And, of course, one would wonder why they're doing this to the animals, too. I happen to think that it's all about, you know, depressing the population, making the population sick, basically putting them in a position where they can't stand up and do anything about all the different things we're having go on in our world today. Because I will tell you, people are really waking up. And, of course, 9/11 really started to open up a lot of people's eyes. But, you know, a lot of people have pets that they love, and, you know, that gets you pretty depressed when your dog or cat that you've loved for, you know, sometimes only a few years, because they're dying at such young ages now, has a problem. So, and it's also all about the money as well. Of course, they're making so much money off all these illnesses that they're creating.
Yeah, they're all the top income. They've so far gone past what they expected to make in the vaccine bracket. I mean, it's a racket.
Yes.
But I wanted to point out, too, some other things that have been fairly timely about what you were saying about that lacrosse virus.
Okay.
One of them is that recently in UK, they had an outbreak of hoof and mouth disease, which was traced back to, there were two labs right near where the outbreak occurred. Mariel is one of the companies, the other one I believe was a state or government lab. They were working with the hoof and mouth virus. Now, isn't it a coincidence that it gets out?
Exactly.
So it's not, you know, anybody who's working on it, you know, there's a problem in there. The other thing was they just passed out today information that I sent on to you about the AIDS virus vaccine that they're working on has caused AIDS virus to occur in a significant number of the test subjects.
Are they actually admitting that now? Because I've had a link up for a couple of years on my site about a test that they did with the AIDS vaccine, and their conclusion was that it didn't protect the people. But now are they actually admitting, because I haven't had a chance to read that one yet, they're actually admitting that it's causing the AIDS?
Yeah, where you can go on today. It's on the MSN News.
Okay.
So this is not what you, not the scientific, this is just the reporting of what they found. It's not a scientific paper.
Right.
But also, there information from the meningitis vaccine that was used in the college kids that five came down with meningitis,
mm-hmm.
but then the vaccine companies tried to say it had nothing to do with the vaccine.
Right. Well, actually, what they said was that it was a different strain of meningitis, at least in the article that I read on that, which you got to laugh. And that's why it's the same thing is going to happen with this HPV vaccine, the Gardasil vaccine. They've already got their ducks lined up in a row on that one to cover themselves, saying that there's only four viruses of the many subtypes in the vaccine, so it doesn't protect you from all of them. And, of course, who can trust a lab that's testing you after you get cervical cancer and say, oh, you had a different subtype that's in the vaccine?
Right. And then the other thing is in North Carolina about probably 3 years ago, there was a cat that got rabies. We probably never would have heard about it had it not bit somebody who was on our state government. I can't remember if it was the state senate. But anyway, I called the public health veterinarian at the time, Lee Hunter. Dr. Hunter sort of faded out on explaining to me how the cat that was vaccinated for rabies came down with rabies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was it a vaccine break? Was it, you know, because of the vaccine gave him rabies?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was never answered. But I did get an answer from him on why we couldn't use titers instead of just vaccinating them when we know these are doing harm. And he said, as far as the animals were concerned, because I said, we use titers in us, you know, the people, so why can't we use it in the animals? And he first of all started going into the fact that he said the titers were never able to be used as a reflection of immunity, which is not true. Dr. Dodds just recently brought out that Dr. Tizard was misquoted in his paper when he had, misinterpreted, but you certainly can use the titers, and we do in the people, and we do for export. But he told me we couldn't use it in the state of North Carolina because animals were disposable.
Wait, and I just want to add to that. You see how they basically they try to play it any way they can. I agree that antibody levels are not evidence of immunity because you need the T cell part of the immune system to be working also. But if that's what they're giving vaccines for is to create antibodies, then how can they say that a titer showing you've got an antibody response isn't working?
Dr. Ford just recently, Richard Ford from NC State, had said the only thing that's used to prove that a vaccine works is that it can produce antibodies. So, you know, these vaccines you were talking about, the lipid, there was a few children I came in contact with that had vaccines that had the squalene in it that almost were going in for bone marrow transplants.
Wow.
And so I pointed out to the group, it's actually an animal group that Chris Christine heads up that's trying to get full disclosure and informed consent prior to vaccination in animals because they also attract a group of children that have the same issues that the animals are having with the over-vaccination. But, I mean, they can't even see what it is that they're doing. I mean, they just step back and look at what does your immune system do and what happens to it when you bypass the way it's supposed to work and inject these poisons and toxins into the body. Now, the mercury, which they say is number two, only to plutonium, on what the damage that can be done as a neurotoxin, when it's combined with aluminum, which is most of the adjuvants in these vaccines, aluminum hydroxide or aluminum phosphate, same for pets, same for the people. When you combine aluminum and mercury, any basic freshman biochemist can tell you that the neurotoxicity is going to go up so high. Now, you give all of these vaccines repetitively all this time, there is no way that the body is not going to succumb to this. Exactly. And how it does is related to not only the genetics that you've already had, how much damage you've already had, how much, you know, your diet is not going to be supporting good health, exactly, and how much, you know, your environmental, you know, emotional damage, any of that stuff can play into it. But there's no doubt that one thing that we could stop, we can stop it right now, is the mosquitoes in white coats given unneeded vaccines.
I totally agree with you. And I just have to ask you to really clarify, when you asked that minion the hard question about if the person that got bit by the animal that had a rabies vaccine, how that animal got rabies, how did he avoid answering your question? Did he just refuse, or did he sidebar into another issue?
No, he stalled out and said they were looking into it, and they were trying to, you know, look. You know how virus isolation, and you know how long it takes to, you know...
Right, and
they're not going to admit that.
Yeah, it'll be a different subtype of the rabies virus. You know, it's funny how they have all these subtypes. They're probably creating them just so they can use this excuse. But
right, well, there's so much money tied up with the vaccines, and not only the production of the vaccines, the giving of the vaccines, which therefore gives you ill health, and then the whole ill health system's tied into the, you know, the insurance, and it's just a snowball effect.
It is.
And then, you know, it's really terrible. But I now see where your conspiracy theory comes from, but I don't think that any one human was smart enough to design it, but it's definitely
no, I don't
there.
Think this and comes from a human at all. I think this comes from a dark energy that's pervading our professions. And I know that they have been conspiring to do this because, as you mentioned, the Rockefellers, and as I said, and I have documentation of their eugenics program. This has been going on for many years. Eugenics is a program to take out the useless eaters. And Henry Kissinger had actually gone in front of Congress, and I have a transcript of this as well, where he went on the record and said that population reduction is a national security issue. So once you make the useless eaters that can't think, they're too sick to work, and you get them in a position where they can be treated further by the medical doctors, then you can take out more useless eaters. So it's obvious what's going on. And, you know, people don't like to see that and know that and realize that because then they have to say to themselves, oh, my God, if our government could do that, what else could they do? But that's what we have to start doing, folks.
Right. Yeah.
But well, I want to thank you so much for calling in, Dr. Jordan.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to do an interview with Dr. Coulter, perhaps tape it so that maybe this is too late for him, although I didn't get a hold of him all day, as I said. But your information is so critical in terms of your adding to it, and I know that Dr. Coulter is just as much a hero to you as he is to me as well. What this man came up with, he actually calls himself a medical historian. Isn't it amazing how you can put two and two together when you actually look at what's been going on for all these years?
Well, when you have time to get away from your busy life, your doctor running a practice, single mom, there's not time. But when you can actually get in a position of seeing outside the box, the picture is so clear.
Exactly.
And this is what I just, it's frustrating to try to talk to doctors who are a part of this and don't realize it. And then when they do see it, they're like, oh, this isn't what I signed up for. And then how to rescue the health of our nation is just so important, and not just the people, but the pets.
Right. Well, but don't forget, I remember you told me as you were going around looking for places that you could work that they would actually respect your knowledge on this issue. I remember you telling me that one of the individuals actually made a comment to you something about that they have, you know, $1 million clinic and they're afraid what will happen if they stop giving vaccines. So they're basically admitting.
California.
Yeah.
Orange County. I have a $2 million practice and it's vaccine based and I'm afraid they're going to take that away from me. In other words, the ability to just sit there and pop them full of shots they do not need.
And not only that, but to treat them for the diseases they get from the vaccines.
Well, that's just job security.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, selling your soul for cash. I mean, and it's not even just selling your soul. It's causing such unbelievable suffering and devastation.
Right.
It's just unfathomable that human beings could do this to other human beings.
Right. Well, it really is. A lot of them are ignorant because they're the same people who turn around and let their children and grandchildren be vaccinated because they don't see it. They don't see that what's happening as a result of what they're doing.
Well, there's a number of the ignorant in both yours and my profession, but there's also a number of those who are not ignorant. Especially
they're mercenaries.
I know many pediatricians that do not vaccinate their own children.
Yeah.
So they are starting to
vaccinate others?
Oh, yes. Oh,
no,
yes.
They're mercenaries.
Exactly.
And the other thing that Dr. Dodds referred to it, she goes, it could be ignorance, but it also could be inertia. That's just their inability to move. You know, they just don't know what to do.
And fear, because they know what happens when you step out of the box.
Well, if you have one emotion that's tied clearly to the vaccination protocols, one emotion, it's fear.
Yes.
It's what drives the whole process.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you.
So, well, I'm going to get off now, and hopefully you can get a hold of Dr. Coulter at some point, because everybody needs to know that this man is a hero. His books, if not now, will be known as works of art, and I really think that the prophecy that he made in that last chapter, we will look back on this time of what we were doing with these vaccines in shame and in horror.
Amen. I totally agree with you, and yes, I will continue to try to get a hold of him, because I've talked to him probably 10 times over the last 2 weeks, and now all day today I couldn't get a hold of him, so I am concerned. Hope they didn't give him a flu vaccine, because they actually, just so people know, I had sent, before Dr. Coulter would even agree to come on my show, since he doesn't have access to the Internet, he wanted to read some of my work, and I sent him a whole package of CDs and documents that I've written. And they actually stole the first set of information that I sent him. I had to actually send it to have somebody that I connected with at the nursing home sign for it specifically, so that later on when I called her back, she could not tell me, oh, I don't know what happened to it, because it went into her hands. So, you know, they know what he's getting involved with here, and I'm sure they don't like it. So I will ask everybody to say a prayer for Dr. Coulter, because this man is definitely a hero, and if nothing else, he should at least be aware of what his information has done to other people who are now picking up the sword, like Dr. Jordan and myself and Dr. Pitcairn, to awaken us so that we can then form further conclusions and expand this knowledge, because that's what has to happen for this Holocaust to stop.
Right.
Okay, so I have to close the show out now. Thanks again for calling, Dr. Jordan. You know, I always love your comments. Keep on sending me that gold. And okay, good night. And so I'll end the show tonight, folks. I'm going to continue to describe the diagrams however long it takes. This is the lecture that I give when I go out and give conferences. So if any of you want to have me come and do so, I'll be happy to do that. And, of course, I always love to answer your questions, because that's how we know if we're not answering your questions simply enough, or if you need additional information. So I'm going to try to get Dr. Coulter perhaps to do a tape show with me before next week. If not, I will continue with this third diagram, the vaccination diagram, and start it up from where I left off. If you haven't read the documents on my website yet, the CDC response, as well as Inoculations, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction, I encourage you to do so, because that's the background for these lectures. I cannot go into all that information. And then if you have additional information you need to explain to you, then you can certainly call me up and ask questions. I love to answer your questions. So have a good night, folks, and continue to spread the word about these broadcasts. I'm getting probably 100 new people subscribed to my update list on my website every day. Keep on, all you have to do, folks, is just put your email in that update list, and I will send you updates about various things that are coming on, about shows that are coming up, and all kinds of other information that you need to know. So spread the word, folks, because it's not too late to change things. It can happen in a heartbeat once we reach critical mass and the people wake up. Have a good night, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.